We break down Rod Boone of the Charlotte Observer's first mock draft, and then we get to the first big-time workout this weekend, all today on the Locked On Hornets podcast.
You're Locked On Hornets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
In a minute, cuz. We live. We live.
Happy Friday. It's Locked On Hornets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team every day. Thanks for making us your first listen. We are free. We are available anywhere you get your pods. And as always, that includes YouTube. Today's episode is brought to you by Bird Dogs. You can go to birddogs.com/LockedOnNBA. And when you enter promo code LockedOnNBA, they'll even throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti-style tumbler with every single order. That's Doug Branson. You can find his work on his Substack, everyhornetsboxscore.com. I'm Walker Mail. You can listen to me here locally in Charlotte on the radio, Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ every weekday from 12 to 3. Rod Boone is a part of the crew, Doug. Is that what you're telling me?
He's on the scoot wagon. Choo-choo, baby. He's scooting.
The Boone choo-choo. The scoot wagon, it's all going down. Rod Boone gave us a 1.0 mock draft on the Charlotte Observer. And at number two overall, Rod Boone has the Hornets taking Scoot Henderson. So here's what I want to get to in his write-up.
You go ahead. You know, you start because I'm always – yeah, I feel like the past couple of days I've really been trampling all over you, and I apologize. I've just been super excited. There's a lot going on right now. The scoot wagon is moving too fast for this show. It's moving too fast for you. So I do want to give you the floor here, but I've got a lot to get to in this one.
Okay, that sounds good. He acknowledges that all the mock drafts out there in the world are mostly pointing to Brandon Miller. And this is the paragraph I get to first, Doug. Mm-hmm. Yes, the Hornets surely like Miller. But who's to say they aren't just as enamored by Henderson's physical gifts? And for the positional fit thing, when asked by the Observer at the NBA Draft Combine in Chicago last month about the perception he can't be teamed alongside Ball or another point guard, Henderson admitted that it ticked him off. But really, it's the first one. Who's to say that they aren't just as enamored by Scoot Henderson's physical gifts? Are we just not getting we've got all these opinions about what the Hornets feel about Brandon Miller. Do we not know how the Hornets feel about Scoot Henderson? And if that's the case, this goes into your theory of the less you hear about someone, then maybe the more likely it is that they select that guy that you don't hear about. So that's aboard it, Doug. That's what I'm about.
That's right. It's not about what you hear. It's not about what you read. I cannot stress this enough, folks. Hmm. It's about what you don't hear and what you don't read. Don't believe your eyes. Believe what your eyes aren't telling you. Believe what you aren't hearing. That's what I'm trying to get through here. Nobody knows anything, including Rod Boone, by the way. We're all in the same boat together. He's just picking mm-hmm. who he thinks the Hornets will take at number two.
He's going to have Brandon Miller in 3.0, isn't he? He's going to change the last
one. Well, okay, that's where I would like to start, is that we are less than 2 weeks from the draft at this point, and Rod Boone has draft 1.0. Where you been, Rod?
Press enter. Send.
Where have you been? I'm on mock draft 72.0. Like, where I just love the idea that he's like, all right, I'm gonna do a mock draft, and everybody does the 1.0 thing. Like, why even version it 1.0? Like, I would like to know from you, Walker, do you think we're gonna get to 3.0? Because I think Rod's only got one more in him.
I think he only has one more in him just because of the timing too. But it would be
late.
What if he's just doing a Doug Branson thing and he's coming up with a mock draft every day? That's what I want to see.
Well, so. I would be in full support of that. In fact, if you wanted, Rod, if you're listening or if you're watching right now, I will support you in this. I will help you. If you want to do a mock draft today, I will help you because I know it's a lot of writing and you're doing a lot of other stuff as well. But in all seriousness, he has Scoot Henderson at number two. It's one of these things where it feels like it means nothing. Because, again, Rod is in the same boat as all of us. We don't know anything. So we're just trying to read tea leaves and guess and put a little bit of our own bias in there and try to come up with something. But at the same time, it kind of feels like it means everything that Rod Boone, the beat writer, has Scoot Henderson at number two. And the reason I say it means everything is because, look, there are a lot of casual fans who still read the Charlotte Observer religiously. They still hang on every word of what the beat writer writes. And I think there are going to be a lot of people. I mean, some of those people listen and watch the show, but most of the people that hang on religiously to every word that the beat writer says still think a podcast is like a fishing rod or something. But I still think that there are going to be a lot of disappointed people if on draft night, they announce that Brandon Miller is going to be the pick at number two, because there has been so much momentum towards Scoot Henderson. As Boone writes in this article, you know, that many of the mocks from the top outlets that cover the draft extensively place Brandon Miller in Charlotte ahead of Henderson. And that only flipped once the lottery results were revealed. That's important to remember, that like everyone had Scoot Henderson number two until the lottery. And then all of a sudden it was Brandon Miller. So I think there are going to be a lot of disappointed people if it's Brandon Miller.
Yeah, I think with Brandon Miller going, I think with Charlotte, right, some of the narrative is that doesn't fit with LaMelo. We've talked about that extensively. But then I saw our guy Mavs draft, Richard Stein, I believe, and he's been great when he's joined us in the past. And he's saying, well, wait, Portland's going to be in the same scenario. If they draft Brandon Miller, then it's going to be Damian Lillard and Anthony Simons. I think we mentioned that yesterday too, but it makes a lot of sense. It's why is it all about Charlotte? And then when Portland has that third overall pick, because no one has Scoot going to four. That is just not anything that is happening out there in any mock draft. It's not even a feasible comprehension to me to have Scoot Henderson go number four. It doesn't look like that. And so we'll see if Rod Boone is right. We'll see if we are right.
It's Richard Stamen, by the way. Want to make that important correction for a friend of the show.
Yeah, Richard
you
Stein.
You said Richard Stein. It's
no,
Richard
I know. Stein. That's what I thought it was. But yeah, Richard Stamen, Mavs draft. I apologize, Richard.
Anything by the way, else? Julian Strother, the number 27 pick by Rod Boone. What do you think about that? A little Gonzaga Strother, a little 3-and-D coming this way, according to
especially,
Rod Boone.
Especially the shooting. He's an elite shooter, and so that's why Rod Boone has him taking Julian Strother out of Gonzaga.
He did work out here. So, that, yep. If you're going to pick someone, if you have no information and you're going to pick someone for the 27th pick, you might as well either pick Julian Strother or Omax Prosper. Those are really your two names that you can, kind of put a pin in. I know Sasser worked out here as well. But I think that those are two solid picks. And look, they need some 3-and-D help. I was looking at a graph put together by not Basketball Reference, B-Ball Index, one of my favorite stat sites that I always try to think of the name of and can't remember, but it's B-Ball Index. And they have their LeBron rating that rates offensive impact and defensive impact. And they put together most of the wing players from last year and, trying to find out who are the true, 3-and-D guys that can do both. And the only Hornet that showed up really even near somewhere where you could consider that person a 3-and-D player, would you like to take a guess?
No, I don't know who it is.
PJ Washington. It's okay. PJ Washington. I said this on the last show. They've been relying far too long on PJ Washington to provide that kind of impact for this team. That shouldn't, PJ should be honestly more impactful offensively than he has been over the past couple of years, but they've asked him to do so much on the defensive end of the floor. Mm-hmm. We saw early last season how much of an impact PJ can have on the offensive floor, but I think he's limited in that respect because they have no other wings that can defend. So,
yeah, putting him in his role is going to help him out quite a bit, and we'll see if Scoot or Brandon Miller allows him to do that. Maybe we can finish our thoughts on the mock draft, but we have another workout to discuss coming up next on the Locked On Hornets podcast.
Don't go to sleep on the Hornets just yet.
It's Thompson Twin workout day. Not only one, but two. Amen, Asar, the Thompson Twins, they are going to be working out at the Spectrum Center. And then, of course, it's Scoot Henderson on Sunday, and then it will be Brandon Miller early next week on Tuesday. This episode is brought to you by Bird Dogs. They make you look good. Bird Dogs stretch khaki shorts. They are designed to fit slimmer through the thigh and leg, giving you a truly sculpted look. Bird Dog shorts do the exact same thing as Lululemon, but they fit way better than that. They fit way better than regular shorts that are made of this stiff, restricting cotton, and Bird Dogs fix the issue by inventing cloud knit fabric that looks just like khaki, but stretches so you get a way slimmer fit without having to sacrifice movement. They use anti-stink sweat wicking fabric too that keeps you cool and dry all day long. Go to birddogs.com/LockedOnNBA and enter promo code LockedOnNBA for a free Yeti style tumbler with your order. That's birddogs.com/LockedOnNBA for a free Yeti style tumbler. You will not want to take your Bird Dogs off. We promise you. More Locked On Hornets coming up next.
This is Locked On Hornets.
And would I have liked to see a few more shards? Shards? No, I would not have.
Only on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
How meaningful is today to you, Doug, the fact that the Thompson Twins will be working out at the Spectrum Center, guys that are not considered to really be in the running at number two whatsoever? To me, this is significant trade back territory. If somebody was so desperate to move up from 4, 5, maybe even 6, maybe Asar would fall to 6. I don't think Amen would. So that's why you would work these guys out. Maybe you love them so much, you'll take some assets, move back, and then take one of them. But in the end, I think that's highly unlikely.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think everyone has Amen at 4 or 5. And I think Asar is kind of moving in between that 6 to 10 range. I think he's a bit of a wild card, which is funny, right? Because they're twins, and one has separated himself from the other pretty significantly. You know, I think it's good that the Hornets are staying prepared, that they will, you know, if they have to answer a call and that call comes with a monster deal that they just feel like they cannot pass up and want to move back, they want to know, hey, what's going on with these Thompson twins? Because these are two guys, 20 years old, played in this overtime elite program in based in Atlanta for like the top high school kids in the nation. And so you're trying to figure out, hey, did what I saw some crazy stuff on tape with these Thompson twins. Both of them are insane athletes. But what was I seeing there? Was I seeing a case of just sort of overinflated highlights because they're playing against really not great competition, not college competition that Brandon Miller played against, not pro competition that Scoot Henderson played against in G League Ignite? You know, so what am I seeing here? And I think that's why the workouts are going to be extremely important for these Thompson twins.
Well, and so you have San Antonio 1, Charlotte 2, Portland 3, Houston is 4, Detroit is 5, 6 Orlando. It's about as far as you're going to move back is Orlando if you want to take a shot at Amen, or maybe you do like Asar. So if you were to trade back Orlando, Detroit, Houston, the thing is, it kind of reminds me of the Markelle Fultz, Jason Tatum trade if this were to take place. And the reason I say that, not because of the movement at the top of the draft, it's because, man, you are making bets on exact opposite pieces of analysis for these guys. Because if you feel so good about Amen Thompson to trade back and get him, that means the team moving up to get rid of all those assets feel the exact opposite about Amen Thompson so they can move up and get Scoot Henderson. And so you have very different evaluations on these prospects, where Houston maybe just think, oh yeah, Scoot is clearly going to be so much better, we'll move up. Same thing with Detroit. And Charlotte's like, no, we actually like Amen enough to where we'll take these assets and then move back. It's just very, very different evaluations on those guys. And so there's a much bigger likelihood, at least for, okay, yeah, this team clearly had it right, this team clearly had it wrong on the who won the trade thing. You know, I guess they could both even out and it work, I guess. But at the same time, just the polar opposite evaluation would be intriguing to watch down the line.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it is significant that the Thompson twins, to this point, they're getting to the Hornets, you know, a little bit late in this workout process. And I think it's significant that you haven't seen either of their draft stock drop significantly, even after they've worked out for Portland. They've worked out for multiple teams at this point. Enough teams have gotten a look at them where I would say, like, okay, if there was really a problem here, then they probably would start to see some of that draft slippage. But you never know. Anything can happen on draft night. You know, a lot of we've seen guys take precipitous falls, even though they were locked in at certain positions on mock drafts. And then all of a sudden, after the draft concludes, you get this information of like, oh, well, yeah, he worked out for this team and that team and didn't know what he was doing. So you never really know. But it looks like for now, the Thompson Twins are still locked into that early lottery portion, and the Hornets have to do their due diligence.
Well, and by the way, just I got a chance to talk with Adam Finkelstein of CBS, which, you know, the last name, that feels like something would be right up your alley. You know, Finkelstein, we could make some kind of segment out of that.
I love a good Finkelstein.
Yeah, Finkelstein's great. Finkel is Steen. Steen is Finkel. Adam was talking about Asar Thompson, where we were discussing, okay, the biggest difference in narrative between, you know, the media and what's going on inside the NBA. Well, apparently the NBA loves Asar. That's what Adam Finkelstein was talking about, has sources that are NBA scouts all across the board. And so that's why I kind of expect him to be a top five, top six pick. And I know you have that range, a little bit of a wild card, but it's not just that he says that. It's just you know, Thompson, Asar Thompson is also really athletic and has a high profile transitioning to the NBA as well. And so it'll be interesting to see if the Hornets are working out for the top five prospects, with the first one, of course, being Wimby, who they're not going to work out because he's going to San Antonio.
Well, and if one of these twins comes in and separates themselves in terms of shooting, then all of a sudden the game changes, because the note on these two guys is neither one of them can shoot. So if Asar comes in and he starts knocking down three-point shot after three-point shot and Amin can't, you know, Amin's they're both really good athletes, but Amin is obviously, I think you can see it, as the better athlete. Mm-hmm. And so then it comes down to, you know, I think shooting, it comes down to, you know, which one's the better playmaker, defender. But both of these guys, I feel like you're projecting both of these guys to be impact players on both ends of the floor, just a big question mark being the shot.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about other workout names, not the big ones, some smaller ones, but maybe important. Coming up next on the Locked On Hornets podcast.
Don't go to sleep on the Hornets just yet.
More ACC players, just other college basketball players coming in and working out at the Spectrum Center really every day. I mean, every single day they have a whole bunch of guys coming in that they're taking a look at. We'll discuss some of those names in just a moment. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel. You should make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA Finals while it's still lasting, because right now new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $2,500. That's $2,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not win. They have great promotions every day. It's a safe and secure app. You can get paid instantly. There's no better place to bet all on the playoff action than America's number one sports book. Visit FanDuel.com/lockedon and get a no sweat first bet up to $2,500. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. One more segment to go. Locked On Hornets.
Is Locked On Hornets.
Are we sure that like everyone interprets a handful as five?
I think so. Honestly,
I would say a handful is normally five, but
I would agree.
Four is acceptable.
What's my whole five things in my hand? Look, one, this is a pen, a book, I got a phone. Yeah, you guys are actually right. It's getting pretty full.
Yeah, I know.
Here's a cable. Five.
Okay, that's five. That's five.
And here's a coffee cup. What else?
It's time for more of the Locked On Hornets podcast.
How do you think married Nick is doing these days, Doug? Did you go? Did you marry him off? I think it's
I wanted to go for sure. I had the invite. I think everyone was expecting me to be there. But you know, I had a couple of things to get to. I got a baby. You know what I mean? People got to give me a break here. Okay.
Yeah, I know. That's true. I hope he's doing okay. Congratulations, Nick. I think it was yesterday.
Listen, we talk every week. I haven't heard from him, so maybe he gets married. Look, it changes people, okay? Nick, you've changed. I get it. You don't want to come on the show anymore because you're married now. You don't want to hang out with your friends. I get it.
Yeah, it's tough. All right, well, we'll just have to make do without the Nick Carboni. Let's talk about some of these other draft workout names. Working out actually yesterday, Kobe Brown, Caleb Daniels, Bryce Griggs, Noah Gurley, and Sir Jabari Rice. Yes, Sir Jabari Rice is his name. Doug, you had something on these names for the workout that took place yesterday.
Well, it's just as we close in on the draft, we're wrapping up workout season. The Hornets host a ton of workouts. I mean, we've been getting these, you know, list of five or six names for several weeks now, almost every other day. And we are, I think, Walker, we are now entering the 2K franchise mode 23rd year portion of the workout names with your Kobe's and your Caleb's and your Bryce's. This is what this feels like. It feels like Mitch knocked on the door of the person that was responsible for bringing in names for workouts, knocked on his door and said, listen, we need another workout. And this guy has been just bringing in name after name, calling people, making schedules work, getting these people in. He's tired. He's distraught. He's like, I got to find more names. And I think he just rolls through the roster at this point. And he's just finding names that match players that have been drafted by the Hornets or on a Hornets roster at some point. And that's how you end up getting a Kobe Brown. Mm-hmm. You've got a Caleb Daniels. You've got a Bryce Griggs. You got a Noah Gurley, shout out Noah Vonleh, a Sir Jabari Rice. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what this was. This was somebody going, all right, I got to finish the homework assignment. I don't know what to do here. Here are some names.
It's going to be awfully suspicious if they find another LaMelo out there and then he comes in for a workout. It's going to be, interesting. Go ahead, Doug.
Well, it is funny. I'm almost 36 years old, and I've been playing sports video games for a long time and playing franchise mode on those games for a long time. And I always found it ridiculous that once you got to year, you know, whatever on your franchise mode and you would go to the draft and it would just be, you know, these mix up mashups of names that you were familiar with. Mm-hmm. And that's would be who you would be drafting, you know, Tim Garnett or whatever. And I was like, this is ridiculous. This is not how it works. And then you get to 36 years old and you zoom out a little bit and you go, oh, yeah, I guess people name their kids after famous basketball players because, you know, they're a fan of basketball. And then their kids become fans of basketball and then they become basketball players. And the world just keeps on spinning. And here we are.
They have brought in, by the way, a lot of ACC players this week. And so I think it was on Monday where this workout included Armon Franklin out of Virginia, Justin Mutz, and Davion Williamson. And you also had Colby Jones, who was another 27 guy, by the way.
A lot of Kobe's. I don't know how to pronounce the last name, but he's rising up draft board. What is it? What is it?
Well, it's Colby Jones. Yeah, Colby Jones.
No, not Colby. Oh, you said Colby Jones. I thought you said Kobe Jones.
No, you're good. Colby Jones is a guy that you could consider at 27.
I love Colby Jones. I don't know who Kobe Jones is. I don't know who you're talking about, but I love Colby Jones. He's great.
Okay. They also brought in Kihei Clark out of Virginia as well. Tiger Campbell, somebody that a lot of college basketball fans might know. Tiger Campbell, a great name as well. So they did bring in quite a few names over the last couple of weeks. Last thing here, Doug, we got the draft hat yesterday. We saw the Charlotte Hornets draft hat. We were recording, and then as we were recording, David sent us the picture of it. I liked it immediately, and I kept looking at it. I heard your opinion, which you'll share in a second. I was like, yeah, man, this is my favorite that the NBA has put out there in a while. So you can describe it. You can tell us how you feel. What do you feel about the draft hat this season?
Well, I could describe it, and I will have to for the listener. But for the viewers here on YouTube, I could just show it to you. Here it is.
True. Bam.
Your 2023 NBA draft hat. It is an all-teal hat for the Charlotte Hornets. And all of these are themed. So, like, all the teams have a similar hat. This isn't, like, a Charlotte Hornets-designed hat. Let's just kind of get that out of the way. Mm-hmm. For any criticism, for anything we like or criticize about this hat, it's not really about the Charlotte Hornets. It's about the NBA developing these draft hats. So, it's an all-teal hat, and then you've got the main Charlotte Hornets logo. It's a pretty large-sized logo, but not overly large. I would say normally-sized logo on the front of the hat. But then behind that, you've got in big letters Charlotte Hornets stacked on top of one another vertically. And And so the first thing that I wanted to look at, because I thought it looked really cool, the Charlotte Hornets lettering behind the logo.
That's my favorite part.
But I had to zoom in because I had to make sure that this wasn't this like plastic crap that people do with these hats sometimes, where after 10 years it starts to peel off and look terrible. But if you zoom into this hat, that's stitching. I'm pretty sure. I can't confirm until I get the hat in my hands. Which will be coming soon.
Oh, you're going to get it for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I get the draft hats. It's just like what my one thing that I always collect.
I didn't know that.
It is. Yeah. I love the draft. Well, I love the draft. Sometimes I don't love the draft hat, but I get the draft hat anyway because you gotta. And sometimes they're really cool. I would say the coolest one that I have is the Frank Kaminsky draft because the underbill was amazing. It had this great Charlotte Hornets theme design.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, the underbill is cool.
That was the Kaminsky draft. Disappointing draft. Great hat. I would say that's a theme too. I would say my greatest hats have come from some draft disappointments. I think I hated the LaMelo hat, in fact. So it's been sort of opposite. If the hat stinks, the draft pick is great. So that's the hat. What do you think about the hat?
No, I like it. I it's a little plain outside of the lettering behind the logo. So really the only thing that is different, it is the lettering behind the logo, but I still like it quite a bit. Maybe I'd like some purple in there. I do like the NBA logo on the back of the hat because if you're wearing it backwards, then you can at least have a little something at the forefront. No underbill.
Look at this underbill. This is embarrassing. This is an embarrassing underbill. All gray, plain Jane. I mean, this is ridiculous. This underbill is an accountant. This underbill works on the 22nd floor, has to wait 3 hours on the elevator. I mean, this underbill is absurd.
What's funny, you would care about the underbill because
this underbill drinks Diet Coke.
Okay. Wow. Man, just insult a bunch of Americans out there. What you're doing too, when you wear your hat, is you tip your hat up. So you would be the exact type of guy that would care about the underbill more than most. I like a nice underbill too, for sure. But I'm a hat backwards guy anytime I wear one, and you will tip it up just a little bit. And so that makes a lot of sense. And this, now you're gone.
It's just a boring underbill. I would say generally it's difficult to hate this hat because I was honestly surprised that Jordan Brand didn't get involved in designing this hat because it has a very Jordan Brand feel to it in that it is so safe. Like, you can't hate it, but you also, I don't think you can love it. Like, I mean, I'm sure there will be people that love it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'll just say, like, this, you know, this underbill is killing me. It's so, it's so boring. This underbill has dial-up internet. This underbill is absurd. This underbill waits on hold. This underbill never selects the option to be texted back. This underbill is the worst.
All right. Thanks for making Locked On Hornets your first listen today. Make your second listen Game to Game NBA. Every moment, every top performance, every result. Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the league with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA.
This underbill loves standing in line.
Available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcast. Have a great weekend, and we'll be back with you on Monday.
This underbill reads the Wall Street Journal.